I believe there's a hero in all of us.
You have great powers, only some of which you have as yet discovered.
I'm a superhero.
A real life superhero.
The world needs extraordinary. We will make you a superhero.
Are you ready to become a hero?
Initiating surprise in three.
This,
two,
is
one.
The Real Brian Show.
You know it's time to end the week, right?
I say today we're going to bring the positivity and the fun. We'll tell you what we're watching and what we're nerding out on. We're going to be catching up with Miss Ice. And I tell you what I'm going to be doing right now. I am drawing a line in the sand.
I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating. And it gets everywhere.
You know, nobody asked you, Anakin. Let's rock it. Welcome to The Real Brian Show. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. I am The Real Brian.
And I am Miss Ice.
Oh, hey, Miss Ice.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, okay. I wanted to introduce my good buddy, yeah. Captain. Captain Influence.
Oh, yeah? Captain?
Hello, Captain?
Captain? Hey,
Captain.
Hello, Captain. Where is he?
Where is he?
What happened?
Can you hear him?
No.
Captain, you're muted.
What happened to Captain Influence?
The suck zone.
Wait, the suck zone happened to Captain Influence?
So it's not, you know, like trying to turn it off and turn it back on again.
Wait, is he dead? He's not dead, is he?
No.
I hope not.
No. He must just be having connectivity problems. We'll catch up with him.
Wait a minute. I'm Googling Iowa right now. And it looks like there was a massive storm that completely wiped out and leveled Des Moines.
Mm.
So
the only thing that ever happened in Iowa. That's what you found on the internet.
Breaking news. Something happens in Iowa. Ooh, no.
Finally, something worthwhile in the news.
Oh, my gosh. We're so though. Yeah. In all seriousness. Captain Influence is alive. Iowa has not been leveled, but a derecho did cause widespread damage and 500,000 plus homes and businesses lose power. So yes, Captain Influence is without power today, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We tried it. We're like, come on, man, come on, get the power. I'm like, start up the generators. And, you know, he's been playing Far Cry 5. So I'm like, don't you have like a survival bunker or something that you can go and record the show with us? I mean, come on, man.
For reals.
Yeah, he's apparently not that much taking that game very seriously. I'm a little disappointed.
We're going to have to ask him to step up his game because this is unacceptable.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like the original gangsters here. You know, you and I were the OGs of hosting.
The good old days. Guys, these are the pre-Tony days, right?
That's right.
I don't know why you ever even started podcasting with that numbskull anyway.
That's a good point. You know, I mean, it's kind of like you and I were like
the
gangsters, man. I mean, why did I replace Tony with you in the first place?
Right. Yeah.
I agree.
That's Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Wait. I don't think that's how that happened.
I don't think that's how that happened.
No, we will greatly, greatly miss you, Captain Influence, today. It's just not going to be, you know, this is honestly the first episode without Captain Influence in a very long time.
For real. I feel a little lonely in here.
Yeah, you know? I'm not really quite sure what to do, to be honest.
I'm going to have to come back here really soon so that we can talk with Captain.
Yeah, how about that? How about like next week or the week after? And that way
I like it.
You guys can just, you know, just rap.
Yeah.
That'd be so colon. That'd be Colin. Hey, so by the way, what does that even mean? I typed that would be cool to somebody, like that'd be cool. And I don't get this, but autocorrect changed cool to colon. And so
that makes sense.
It sent off that'd be colon. What? How does that even make any sense? So here's my new phrase. This is the catchphrase of the week. That'd be colon.
That'd be colon.
Oh, yeah. So don't forget, anytime you're like, oh, that's cool, just say, oh, that's colon. So just change cool to colon every single time. It's going to be fun. Okay, well, Miss Ice, I'm just, first of all, glad you're back. It's been, I think it's been like, what, 71 years since you've been on, is that correct? Something like that?
72.
Yeah. 72 years. Okay, yeah. It's been a while, or a minute, as the kids are saying it today.
Been a minute. It was like the beginning of summer, wasn't it?
It was end of May.
End of May?
Yeah. You know what's funny, though, is how You know, you're just on and you're doing stuff and then you're just not there. And then we kind of go, wait a minute, it's been like 12 weeks since, well, where did time go? So, I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, we were keeping in touch a little bit. I know the situation. Here's the thing. Iowa gets its first piece of news in like the last 115 years or something like that. You know, a storm hits, but you guys have been in the news all the time. And are you feeling safe? That's my biggest question. Are you personally feeling safe right now living in Minnesota?
Honestly, I feel like safety is a little bit of a misnomer.
Okay.
And I don't really even think about it that way anymore. I mean, there are I'm not going to get into it, obviously, but I just think that there are so many things that need to happen before any one person can ever feel safe again. So I'm not as concerned about my own safety, but
okay. That's a really good attitude.
You know, and it's taken a long time to get there because, I mean, in the midst of it all, it's super terrifying. Like,
of course,
the riots themselves were just, I mean, and then you go like walk through the streets of the one, I mean, it was miles and miles of city blocks that were just devastated, but it's heartbreaking, but it's also heartbreaking to see the compounding issues that have brought us to where we are now. And so, you know, the only thing we can do right now is start to build up, you know, what are the things in my life that I can do to affect change in a positive way in my city? And sometimes that means not being safe.
Hmm. That is actually a really interesting statement to hear that.
Huh. It's taken a while to get there, but I'm glad that I'm where I am. You know, everybody has to kind of go through their own process of what the events in this world really mean to them and make sure that you're not just complicit in your inactivity.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But there are so many different ways that you can participate without it like being exactly like somebody else's. And that's really where everybody has to come to is like, oh, there are ways for me to do something that isn't like posting on social media every 5 minutes, you know? So, and that was probably the hardest part to get over. But, you know, once you get there and you start to get a rhythm, it changes your mindset and it makes you realize, you know, like you were never really safe to begin with. If we're being honest.
Yeah,
that's
true. It kind
of breaks the facade of being in your little cool bubble. But
what we can do is, like you said, build up, build forward, do your part. I love that. I like your attitude. I really do. Like Thank that's you. Because I was kind of like this whole time going, oh my gosh, how are you doing? Are you safe? Do you feel safe? Because, you know, you're kind of in the thick of it. And I know your aunt's like a block away or something.
Yeah. They were very, very close to everything.
Yeah. That's crazy.
A lot of friends in the city, obviously. I mean, Minneapolis is pretty big for the size of the state, you know, and my office is pretty close to everything. Haven't been in the office in like 5 months though.
That's nice.
But yeah, so like I've kind of delineated being safe and feeling scared because you can still feel scared and be safe. So
true.
I mean, I think it's just fine to feel scared. I think everybody feels scared, whether you want to admit it or not. But
true. That's true.
So,
okay, well, here's what's going on with you right now. You're not working in the office, but you are working my kind of hours. Is that
I know. When I started working these hours, I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm pulling a Brian here. But yeah, so we wanted to kind of start integrating our stateside team with our Singapore team a little bit more. There's like 3-4 guys that work in Singapore that really have very little interaction with our states team. Mm-hmm. We have a team in Chicago, New York, and Minneapolis. And so I love working those hours anyway. I just usually can't get away with it and be a decent human being during the day when I only sleep like 3 hours a night. So I just volunteered. I was like, hey, I'll do it. You know, I'll start work at 5 or 7 p.m. Central Time and work until 3 a.m. and then sleep until noon.
Nice.
You know, okay, so the craziest thing is like, in addition to it being really fun to work with these guys, I'm actually finding that I'm sleeping better.
Interesting.
And my theory on this is that okay, so I'm working at the end of my day. So I wake up, you know, between 10:30 and noon, depending on how much sleep I actually get. But I don't have to get up for anything. So I'm not like falling asleep going, oh man, I only have 7 hours. Oh man, I only have 6 hours. Oh man, you know, like,
And
so I'm not trying to get myself to sleep in order to crunch my sleep time in during a specific amount or a specific time period.
Sure.
but then I'm also working at the end of my day. So when I wake up, I get to do my, you know, wake up things. I can have a cup of coffee and read my Bible or go for a walk or work out. And then I work.
Yeah.
So it's just affected me differently. So I'm hoping that when I transition back to my old schedule, it'll kind of carry that with me. Like I'll have that sleep now ingrained in me. I actually need 7 hours of sleep every night.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing how sleep really makes or breaks you?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Well, and I haven't felt it for a really long time, you know, like how much it's actually negatively affected me.
Sure.
So this has been very good on an
episode. Well, it compounds, you know, and especially as any of us, just to make sure we're not being insensitive, as any of us get older, we start to notice it more and more. I mean, I think that although I hear people that, you know, as they get older and older, that sometimes they need less and less sleep. But, you know, it is kind of weird. Like I've always needed really, truly around at least eight hours of sleep. Always. I mean, even in high school, I needed that. In college, of course, I didn't get it, but I felt like crap every day. And it was really interesting. Like in college and especially in my first job, I would be narcoleptic. I literally would fall asleep I couldn't control it. And I was like, what is wrong with
me?
Well, yeah, I was just so tired. And I'm like, I have to get 8 hours of sleep every night or else that's what's going to happen. But I've also realized, and this is just me, that my best rhythms have always been later, much more of a night owl. Whenever I've tried to change my rhythms to be earlier, it's actually caused numerous health problems. And I've read though that there are just like, you know, everybody will tell you, oh, Brian, just suck it up. Just grow up and just change your schedule. Everyone can do it. You'll be fine. Well, I've read plenty of studies that actually say that, you know, some people just aren't meant to. And if you don't have to, then why? And you know, that's the beauty of what I do is that it doesn't matter when I work as long as I get my work done.
Right. So, and your line of work affords you the opportunity to do that.
Thankfully,
which is
yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Many people don't have that option.
Well, no. And when I worked, you know, in the job world before I became an entrepreneur, I had to do that and it sucked. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt bad every day and I was never creative. I couldn't think straight. I mean, it's just the way it was. Mm-hmm. But hey, you know what it is? It's what it is. And for those people that are night owls that have to work early jobs and they don't have a choice, then, you know, I really feel for those people because I very much understand. But, you know, what was that book? Was it, I don't remember who it was by, maybe Elrod or something. I don't know. The Miracle Morning.
Miracle Morning.
I think is what it's called. And it's about getting up at 5 a.m. And if you get up early, you know, and ideally it's around 5 a.m., you're going to be far more successful. You're going to make a lot more money. You know, you're going to be happier and all that. And I'm just like, I want to.
It's 5 a.m. somewhere.
Exactly. I kind of want to write a book that says like the Miracle Night Owl or something or the, I don't know. That doesn't actually
do it, man.
Yeah,
do
it would be because, so
like,
funny.
It's like when we saw this so much during Profit Cast days where people would come on and tell you, if you want to be successful, you got to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And then somebody else would come on and say, if you want to be successful, you got to do this, this, and this. Sometimes they totally contradicted each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, just because it works for you doesn't mean it's going to work for everyone. You're giving us an example into what has made you successful. And you're even looking at other people to say what has made them successful. But just because you wake up at 5 a.m. and work 13-hour days doesn't mean everybody has that option.
Yeah.
So it's all about finding what works for you.
Totally.
And not making sacrifices and not apologizing for it. But also, I think like the key is to do it with grace. Like no matter what you do, if you find what works for you, learn how to be flexible. And I say that with a laugh because it's like, especially with this schedule that I'm on, the rest of my team works Central and Eastern Standard Time, right? So I still need them to do a lot of my work.
Sure.
So I gotta jump on at noon, you know, and take a meeting for an hour or get on a little bit early and take a meeting for an hour just because like you can't force everyone onto your schedule and you can't and vice versa. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just about being flex and learning how to work with people. I mean, isn't that what life is? Just a series of working with people.
Communication. It's important. You know, and the more I learn about the Enneagram and the personality, and of course I know a lot about it, but it's like the more you learn the deep intricacies of people's personalities, the more you really start to understand people. You know how people are like, I don't understand people. I don't understand women. I don't get men, you know, so on and so forth.
Right.
It's like, you really actually can if you just kind of become a student of people and it's really not that hard eventually. But what I find interesting is how most of the stuff out there like, okay, hosting a podcast, or if I want to create a YouTube channel, you know, the people that are going, here's how you do it. Here's how you succeed. Well, they're all saying the same thing regurgitated in a different personality. That's it. But it's all the same. I mean, really, I have yet to find somebody that's saying something different. It's really funny. But they're all saying you got to niche, you got to teach, and pretty much there you go. And
niche,
by the way,
teach.
Yeah, and you have to be this type of personality. They're all saying that. Mm-hmm. And this is so interesting to me because before I really understood who I am and really what makes me tick and what makes me thrive and et cetera, thrive or dive. There you go. I like that. Mm-hmm. I find people, this is how you need to be. You need to fit into this box if you want to succeed. Well, the thing is that, yeah, if you follow that formula, you may succeed. But if you're not meant to fit into that box, the formula isn't going to work for you ever.
Or it may get you to the end result, but you won't be happy.
Yeah. Well, but I don't think you'll ever be as successful either. So you probably won't make as much money.
If you're not totally happy doing it or and satisfied, maybe.
Well, that's the thing. So you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be as successful. You're not going to be as profitable. It's just not going to be the same. And then you're going to burn out and not like it. But I'm kind of starting to push back a little bit and I'm finding people do not like that and they don't know how to respond to it because I'm saying,
the niche teach part or which part?
Well, yes. For example, if I challenge them, well, do you really have to niche? Really? And they're like, well, if you want to succeed, I'm like, but is that true? Or is that just what you know? And they don't like that. They don't like that challenge because it's almost like I blow a fuse in their brain and they go, but that's what I was told. And it's like an Android that blows up and, you know, can't.
Or got to think for myself.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't know what to tell you, but that's who they are.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of going like, okay, hold on though. Let's challenge this paradigm a little bit and let's see if there's another way because Netflix and Disney Plus can't be wrong. Apparently entertainment succeeds.
Right.
Just a thought. But anyway, I'm throwing things out here, but
I think it's great because it's kind of going back to, you know, the troubles in our nation right now. We can't be satisfied with the status quo. Just because something has been done one way for hundreds of years doesn't make it the right way. So making an environment where we're all free to pursue what we want to pursue and the way we want to pursue it is that's what will bring about contentness and participation and community, right?
Here's another funny thing to go with the as we get older, you know, statement.
As we age
gracefully, it is really a fascinating realization that I came to. This was a little while ago, maybe less than a year ago, but it's been a while. I came to this conclusion, and I don't want this to sound negative or cause fear for anyone. Please, it's not that at all. I guess this was right around when COVID hit. Maybe that's when it was. I kind of got to this point where I was like, I'm realizing that some of the people that are making these decisions for our country are around my age, or some of them are even younger. Many of them are still older. And I'm like, would I be able to absolutely make this decision with confidence like this person is claiming to do? And I'd be like, I don't know if I could do that because do I really know? And it's like, which started getting me going, well, do they really know? Does anyone really know? Are we all just kind of making our best guesses in life? And some of us are doing it with confidence. And so people go, oh, okay, that's it then. We just believe that person. And again, this is not to create fear or anything. This is just more of a, like you said, challenging the status quo. All of these so-called things that have been put into place throughout our lives, most of those things, at least in recent years, have been put into place by people, humans. Humans have made these statements, these laws, these so-called truths, formulas, whatever, fill in the blank, right? And hopefully some of them were based off good things. But I don't think a lot of them were. I think a lot of them were based off selfish desires or greed or whatever. And so, I don't know. I just got to thinking that it's like, some things are good. Like, don't kill somebody. That's a bad thing if you kill someone. Like, I think we could all agree that we really shouldn't kill someone. But then you've got all these other things that you just kind of start to go, I wonder if that should be challenged because it's like the current whatever is not good. So let's challenge it so that it becomes better. You know, I don't know. I was thinking about that.
No, that's a really good point because like, it's not a point of challenging it in order to point a finger and say, you are wrong about that.
Sure.
You want to challenge it to be able to be like, hey, look at the way I'm doing it. Include me. I want to be part of this. And I think that's where a lot of the negativity comes from around challenging, is because somebody just has this perception that you're pointing a finger at them and saying, you're wrong. Whereas really, I mean, like the way that I look at it is, I want to challenge you so that we can come together on this and broaden the scope of what we call, or maybe what we bring under the umbrella of what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of that, what are you drinking?
This very moment?
Yeah.
Water.
Oh, but I'm talking about you were talking about this new coffee that you have that is so exciting.
Oh, I already finished my coffee, but...
Oh, okay, that's okay. Yeah. But what is it?
I've been on this kick. I think it's a Cameron's blend just called Velvet Moon. It's got this like rich espresso, like dark flavor. And I just can't go back from anything else.
So it's super dark, but it's smooth.
Super dark and smooth.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
When you can't roast your own beans, then you find what works.
No, I get it. I totally, you know, and honestly, I love a good espresso, and that's not something that I've been able to recreate very well. Part of it's because they blend them, but they roast them super dark, and they just have a really nice, there's just nothing like a good espresso for me, which is hard. I can't recreate it. It's hard, but I get it.
It is hard. Yeah.
I roasted some Panamanian coffee. I am a huge fan of coffee from Panama, usually. I mean, of course, depends on the crops that season. But I haven't been able to drink any for years. I found Panamanian coffee many, many years back. It was one of the first coffees I roasted. And it was so good. I mean, the flavor notes on it were out of this world. I mean, it was like I tasted so many different things. In fact, at one point I said, I almost feel like there's I'm tasting steak or something like that. It was really weird. And then I went back and I read the tasting notes, and they were saying that it almost has like a meaty aftertaste. And I just thought, that is so bizarre, but it was really, really good. Well, this one's very different. This one, in fact, Sarah even tasted it, and you know, she would even admit that her taste buds aren't tuned to the actual tasting notes. But you drink it and it almost has like a very fruity, like a blueberry kind of fruity berry initial taste. And then the aftertaste turns into, imagine super dark, like 80 to 90% chocolate. And then imagine that kind of just melting on your tongue. That is the aftertaste of this coffee. It is literally like eating, the darkest, richest chocolate ever. So good. Oh my God. I love this stuff.
And that's Panama coffee.
Yeah. You can get it once in a while. I mean, for whatever reason, it's not a very common coffee, but you can get it. Some of the different estates out there will sell their different crops and you can find them. The problem is, though, is I don't know how to get them outside of the green beans, you know, for you to roast them. I don't know who's even selling those coffees for consumers.
Interesting.
So I don't know.
I'll have to keep my eyes open.
Dang it. Yes. But that'd be colon. That's just messed up.
I see what you did there.
It's just messed up. All right. Well, anyway, I'm glad you're enjoying your Velvet Moon, though.
Velvet Moon. It's hilarious because I got my sister and my mom hooked on this, too. And my sister and I just discovered recently just how similar we are to each other. But we both, when we're grinding the coffee, we start singing Blue Moon. And neither of us knew that the other did this. And I observed her doing it the other day. And I could not stop laughing because I'm like, oh my goodness, I do the same thing.
Please tell me you guys are singing in the voices of the three blind mice from Babe.
No.
That is a travesty. No. I did have, for the first time in so long that I can't even remember, a Frappuccino. I don't drink those anymore. And it was the Carbel Tunnel. No, the Caramel Ribbon Crunch Frappuccino.
Carbel is colon.
Oh, that's right. It was nice and colon instead of cool. Remember that. But oh my gosh, it was so good. And I was like, oh, the sugar content is so glorious and terrible at the same time. Yeah.
So there's just like so much sugar in it, isn't it?
Oh, it's all it is. It's just a bunch of sugar with, a little bit of coffee flavor.
Fall asleep right after I had one.
Yeah. My heart started kind of like pumping really hard and I was like, wow, sugar rush. Holy cow. I just don't drink that kind of stuff anymore, but it was really fun. It was really refreshing. Oh, but you know, other things that are super sweet, the glorious nectar dripping down your mouth, peach season,
peach season is my favorite.
I know. And like the season has been a little low this year. For some reason, the crops aren't doing very well, but we've gotten our hands on a few peaches and we've got a couple more coming. It's very good. I just want to.
Well, and you live in like prime or not prime, but you live in like the perfect peach area. We get all of our peaches from Colorado.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Ours is from the western slope of Colorado. And yes, they come here first. And usually we get what they have first and whatever they run out of. I mean, that's kind of it. So I don't know if you're going to get them this year because as it was, we had to pre-order them and it was a limited amount this year. And of course, with COVID, you're not allowed to go in and do the whole little festival thing like they normally do. It's like go in, get your peaches and leave kind of thing and don't hang around. Yeah. So
don't look anyone. Don't look. Do not collect $200.
If you look someone in the eye, you're going to get COVID. So don't do it.
Well, that's all I ever get anymore. It's like, it's in order to get past someone in the grocery store, they have to like stare at you as you walk past. And it's like, I don't know if you're smiling or glaring at me.
Isn't it weird?
It's so weird.
Yeah. It's really funny. Like when, you know, we were biking, by the way, biking. Oh my gosh. I love biking, except when it's 99 degrees out, that's not fun, but I love biking. And so apparently, and I have not had this problem personally, but apparently I've had some friends who have been out biking and they said that if you don't need to wear your mask while you're biking, because you're outside and you're passing people so fast, it really doesn't matter. But even then, and you're not that close. So people are wearing their masks while they're biking. And I'm like, dude, you guys are going to pass out. I don't know how you're breathing. It's hot out. I can't even breathe through mine, whatever. Right. And they glare at you. Well, apparently they haven't glared at me yet, but apparently friends of mine have been glared at. Like, wear your masks. You don't need to. Just like you don't need to wear them in your car if you're by yourself, unless you're transporting like food because you're grubbing. Oh,
okay. We can't talk about this because I have way too many opinions on this. Let's move on to the next.
No, it's really funny though. I have to laugh at this stuff. And speaking of this too, like, so I think people have just kind of lost it, you know, as far as their senses. We were sitting at a stoplight at a busy road, by the way. And this dude comes up, you know, like facing us and he just kind of stops at the light. He looks around, light's red. There's cars coming, but not that close to him. He just keeps going right through the red light. Wait, what? What are you doing? He didn't care. It was like, wow, I don't know. You know what's funny though? I can get mad at that or I can laugh at that. And I'm laughing at it because it's so funny.
Because everything is so unusual, you don't even know what's real anymore. And
are we living in the Matrix?
I feel like we are sometimes because I could totally see myself doing that. Like everything is so out of whack that you go up to something that you've been doing the same way for however many years you've been driving and just do it differently.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I can sympathize with that, I don't think it's acceptable to feel like we all have the ability to do that. I mean, do we really want anarchy? But at the same time, I can totally understand.
Oh yeah, it's funny. Right? I'm laughing because
I'm laughing
seriously?
With you. Just going like it. Of all the things, right?
Yeah, I know. You're just kind of like, huh? It's called mescaline, by the way. That's what's going on. Everybody's on mescaline.
Mescaline.
Drugs. Drugs are bad. Okay. Stay in school. Don't do drugs. I'm a Suns fan, and I like basketball. And basketball started playing. You know, they're in that little bubble in Orlando at Disney World. Yep.
Everyone except the Timberwolves.
Yeah, they decided not to. The Phoenix Suns, who were in 13th place in the Western Division, which is, that's bad, okay? Everyone kind of gave up because, so they were playing the Warriors, and you remember, you know, I mean, if you watch basketball, the Warriors were fantastic a year ago, and, you know, prior to that. Well, then they lost most of their people, and then the remaining superstars all got injured, and so right before they shut down the NBA for COVID, the remaining players on the Warriors were all G Leaguers. The G League team beat the Phoenix Suns badly. And everyone was just like, have you guys no respect? Well, anyway, here we are after that. And the Phoenix Suns have won 6 games. Well, since the recording of this episode, by the way, it might be different by the time this episode airs, but they've won 6 games in a row. And they're the only undefeated team right now in the NBA since the return.
That's amazing.
And they're in contention now. They're actually fighting with 2 other teams right now to be in the playoffs. They went from 13th to playoff chance. That's determination right there.
Oh, for sure. Especially knowing where they were when the season kind of came to a halt.
Yeah.
You know, just seeing how much things can change when it's basically attitude.
Isn't it? Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, I love it.
That's cool. All right. So your Mac, by the way, I knew you were going to be on sooner, but your MacBook, you have a MacBook Air, right?
I do, yes.
Yes, I remember that machine. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful machine. That's, I think I got it in 2013.
Oh, I got my iMac in 2013. We have little seven-year-old geriatric computers.
Cute.
That's precious. Oh. Yeah, I've been watching the new iMacs. I like to keep an eye on Mac release stuff. It's kind of fun and all that. Because I know you were having computer problems, so you had to get delayed. Mm-hmm. You were going to be on a couple weeks ago, but that didn't work out because your computer was having some issues. But it's working now, right? I mean, you saved it.
Okay. It just came back to life.
Really? What was the problem?
It was crazy. I have no idea. Like, there's my console, error logs, nothing told me anything was wrong. I'm pretty sure it was the Catalina update.
Yeah.
Like, it did something to my power source, and it took like a day for the power source to just kind of refresh itself.
Are you still on Catalina?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I have a MacBook as well, but it's 3 years old. And I just upgraded from High Sierra to Catalina, which for those of non-Mac users, Catalina is the new one.
Super old.
Well, it's not even that old. It's only, High Sierra was 2017. So again, only 3 years old.
That's still super old.
I know, but I was like, I didn't want to touch it. It was working fine. Yeah, don't fix it, right? So I upgraded to Catalina and it's working like crap now.
Yeah.
And so I'm not happy because it's like, you know, okay, this, I love Mac. I loved Steve Jobs. His genius anyway. He was an interesting guy. But I liked what he did and I loved the OSs, but I'm finding the new OSs just don't seem to be as optimized like they used to be. And so here I am putting Catalina on a machine that's still fine and it's like killing it. And so I'm going, well, I need to basically format and roll back because I can't handle the new OS. So then I'm like, okay, well, if my seven-year-old geriatric iMac has to say goodbye someday, which I know it will, but hopefully not soon, what are the new iMacs looking like? And I don't know. I'm kind of underwhelmed. Like, for one, they're still working with Intel, which is unwise, considering how amazing AMD, the Ryzen chips are, and why aren't they working with Ryzen? Oh my gosh, that's weird. And their RAM clock speeds, I know, I'm probably talking like over people's heads right now, but The speed of your RAM, let's just go with that, is still slow and not what it should be. I don't know. It just feels like they didn't do, for it being a three-year-old design, the new design refresh for 2013 just kind of feels like, what did you guys really update? Didn't do much. I don't know. No. I feel like
it's operating systems that just decrease the efficiency of the hardware. Like, you can have stellar hardware, but then you always have to have an OS. I mean, which is the nature of the beast, of course. Mm-hmm. But in spite of that, I still prefer Macs, even with this like terrible Catalina update. Mm. But yeah, I feel ya.
Well, I'm
not super impressed by, like, I mean, they have all of the infrastructure to make a stellar machine for the same amount of money, and they don't. So, I mean, all thinking about all the corporate overhead, all of the contracts that they probably have with Intel that I think are running out here soon.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, they do.
And that's kind of usually why I just roll with it, because I need an OS and I prefer the Mac OS to anything else. I kind of just got to take the good with the bad.
Oh, sure. But I'm with you, though. I mean, I use PCs for the gaming side because Apple is not a gaming
friendly
at all. No, I mean, a little bit, but not really. And then also, I don't know, there's some things that PCs can, like the black beast of, oh, I don't have the sound effect ready. Oh my gosh, how dare I? But anyway, you know, my black beast machine it is significantly more powerful than the top end brand new iMac that I could configure right now that just came out. And I spent like significantly less than what you can spend on that. If I max out the iMac, I think it's going to be $4,000 to $5,000. And it's still not even as powerful as my machine over here that I spent much less on building it myself. So that's the other thing, is that I have a powerful machine. I'm not a big Windows fan. I do appreciate the OSs from Mac, and I totally agree with you, but I don't know. I know this is like really deep and some people are probably like, what? But you know, hopefully us talking about this gives you a little more insight into, if you're just like, I kind of need a new computer.
Well, yeah. And I think the interesting thing is, even though a lot of like maybe the technical hardware conversations about this can go over a lot of people's heads.
Sure.
The same people will inevitably approach someone who knows stuff about this to ask questions like, okay, I need a new computer. What should I go after? And so even if the only thing you get out of this is a like a general sentiment about how we're reacting to these new devices. It may help steer you in the right direction or ask the right questions. Yeah. Because if you know, like, oh yeah, I'm so much more of a gamer than anything else, then you got to go Windows because that's what everything runs on. But for me, all of my work stuff, I do software development professionally. So I can really only use a Windows machine for that. And if I use my Apple, I got to use Parallels in order to run Windows on my Apple, right? And or Bootcamp. So like it really changes. But like in my personal life, you know, my two biggest loves are writing. And podcasting, both of which I can do on my Mac very easily. And just like general other things, bookkeeping and photo, so easy to do on your Mac. So it's all about what you want to do, but it's also how intensely do you do it? Like what you enjoy, what operating systems do you use? Do you like integrating all of your devices? Do you use an iPhone? Yeah, it's probably going to behoove you to get a Mac computer just because it's easier to integrate everything. Totally. But not everybody does that.
Yeah,
it's not required. And there are so many ways around it, making it extremely flexible for people. So I definitely like the diversification that happens, but it's also, there's so much freedom around what you can do.
True. And that's actually come within recent years too, because you did not used to be able to integrate Apple with anything but an Apple machine.
Right.
And so now you can.
I exclusively use Galaxy or Android phones, but I love my Mac computer. So it's
and you
easy
know what?
To integrate them.
I love what you said, that it really comes down to when somebody says, hey, I need a computer or whatever, the biggest question you have to ask is, what are you going to use it for? Mm-hmm. And write all those things down. And then
how
that
much
out.
Money are you willing to spend?
Well, that's the other thing. Because, you know, Macs are, I'm sorry, but they are right now, especially they're overpriced. And they've always been overpriced, but they're more now than I think I've seen. But
relatively speaking, though.
Yes, you are getting a better operating system that is still more secure.
We're talking about our Macs that we've had for 7 years.
Yes.
I have never had a single problem with my Mac until this Catalina update. And after 2 days of just letting it sit in isolation, you know, letting it have its alone time, it came back to life and I've had zero problems with
it. That's
true. So
that's really true. I mean,
that alone inspires me to buy another one.
Yeah, because PCs on average will last 5 years or less.
Right.
On average. And you're right. And I hear
and
I
that's
running
with significant upkeep and a lot of expensive types of software that enable you to stay safe while browsing the internet.
Exactly. That's the thing. Windows is far less secure. There's a lot more, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that just get a Windows machine and do nothing, which is really not good. Like you need to be doing utilities and cleaning on a regular basis with a Windows machine because of, you know, potential issues. With a Mac, you don't have to do that as much. More now than you used to because Macs have become more popular, but not that much.
You're not totally saved from those pitfalls, but you're less likely to happen when you take the right measures to, like, it's not as expensive to take the measures to prevent those issues from happening.
And that's the thing. And that's why I got kind of frustrated with the new iMac, because it's like, okay, my iMac's 7 years old. It's still working fine. 7 years old. It's still working fine. This is crazy. But the thing is that I know that this can only last so long, and I do want to go from this to another Mac eventually, hopefully not for a few more years, but I don't want to replace this to PC. I don't want to do that because of like we just talked about. So it's like, what do you do? What do you do? But you know, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. I know I'm willing to talk with you about this and help you out. I know you've got a lot of knowledge behind this. You've got the Android knowledge. I don't know a thing about Android phones. I've been an Apple phone person since 2008. So
And I was a convert too, because I think it was a long time ago that I converted, but I had just had it with the iOS. Like there were so many inefficiencies that, like, my perception of inefficiency is just like spending so much more time making it look pretty than to give me something that is flexible and that I can use to its fullest extent. What I love about Android is that you have full access to the file system.
Yeah.
You can do all of these separate custom modifications while you're not voiding the warranty of your phone. Like, these are just freely accessible things. So, I mean, there are, like we said, just for the computers, there are so many good and bad things about everything. It's all about finding what you like, learning about it, and then learning the best ways to upkeep it. And that basically the thing that will give your device a long life.
That is the best advice I've heard in a while. Heed those words, my friends. That is really good advice right there. Be curious.
Yeah, be curious. That's a great way to say it. Be curious and be informed.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Be curious. That right there is going to be the title of our episode. Be curious and be informed, because that is...
I love it.
Those are great, great words to live by. I love that. Okay, speaking of being curious, what are we watching right now? This is kind of fun. So I just finished up The Warrior Nun, talked about... I guess it's not The Warrior Nun. It's just called Warrior Nun. Talked about watching that couple... You know, it took me a little while to get through that. Finished it finally. It's good. It's interesting. It's an interesting concept, which I liked. And I've already kind of mentioned it on the show, so I'm not going to go too much further. But I don't know if it has any interest to any of you, but if you have not had a chance to see it, it's interesting, because at first I thought it was going to be kind of like scary, essentially. You know, there's going to be a lot of really intense, scary scenes, and I don't know. And it's interesting because it's rated mature, but other than the language, it has to be one of the tamest mature shows I've ever seen.
Interesting.
So the language is well, by the main character anyway, the language is up there. But other than that, like, talk about, like, I think it's called gore or something is on there. And I'm like, a little bit, but there really wasn't that much. I mean, it was pretty tame. And the scare factor really wasn't there at all, which I was kind of shocked by. And there really wasn't a lot of fighting and violence. It was actually a lot more behind the scenes kind of stuff. It was very interesting. So I really liked it. I thought it was good. There were some boring parts to me, but it kind of helped to develop the main character. So you kind of got to understand that. But other than that, it was just a very interesting show. And oh my gosh, it ended on the most ridiculous cliffhanger. And you're just like, no, oh my gosh. And who knows when they're going to have the ability to go back and film the second season. So, I hate that. But yeah, actually, I love that. I love it. But good show. It's fun to watch if you are into that kind of stuff. And then Star Trek Lower Decks. This is a brand new show. It is from the Star Trek team and creators. And so I thought it was going to be like a fan thing. It's not. And it is an animated series, but it's animated in the style of Rick and Morty. So someone from Rick and Morty is involved. It's not Dan Harmon, but someone is involved. I don't know. That's on CBS All Access. So just like Picard and Discovery and all that. And it's supposed to be a humor. And here's the thing. To me, it feels like an irreverent Star Trek version of the Orville.
Okay.
So the Orville is meant to be kind of a, you know, because the Seth MacFarlane was a huge Star Trek The Next Generation fan. And so he always wanted to be on Star Trek The Next Generation, and he wasn't. So he created the Orville to be a comedic version of Star Trek The Next Generation, even though second season of the Orville was far more serious. So to me, it's kind of like the Orville, but it's even more irreverent, and it is Star Trek. And they essentially what it's about is it's about the crew that serves on the lower decks of a starship. It's not the typical every Star Trek. It's about the bridge crew, the captain, you know, the first officer. Yeah. This is about, you know, the ensigns basically that work down on the bottom decks that have nothing to do with anything. But it's really interesting. However, the jury is still out for me as far as whether or not I like the show, because there were some funny moments, there were some good moments, and there were some like, wait, what the heck did they, what's going on here? So I don't know yet. I've only seen one episode. That's all that was out. We'll see. I'll report back.
Yeah.
Umbrella Academy season 2 is on Netflix, and you are watching season 1. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think I'm halfway through season 1.
Okay. What do you think so far?
It has its moments. Mm-hmm. It has moments of pure brilliance. And I think a lot of it, I don't know, feels a little dribbled to me. And like, okay, I've seen this before. But
yeah,
really dynamic characters, interesting take on powers, and the whole family needing to come together after their father's death sort of thing was really interesting, like a good approach to that. So I really want to see where, I mean, I love like the timey-wimey aspect of it, which is why I'm continuing with it, because I want to see what happens. But
yeah,
it feels like just another one of those, oh, we got to save the world. I wonder if they're going to save it sort of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would probably review it as well.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of those where I watched it, I think it was last spring or something when it came out to Netflix. sometime 2019 and I watched it and I thought, this is really interesting. And then I thought, oh, I really like this part. Oh, I don't like this part. Oh, I really like this part. Well, I don't like this. But it's so bizarrely genius in some aspects and so like what in other aspects?
Yeah. And honestly, like the biggest draw into me was that it's based off of a comic book by Gerard Way, mm-hmm. whom, you know, is like the lead singer of My Chemical Romance.
That's right.
It was like the band from my generation. Yeah. So.
And it reflects just, that. That's the thing.
Yeah, it totally does. It's totally what I would classify as his style. And so I like it for that reason. And I mean, like I said, very dynamic characters, but it's like every episode takes each of the characters' personality to the nth degree.
Mm-hmm,
and sometimes it's just a little much. It is amazing.
That's true. It's amazing,
sometimes
but you're right.
A little much.
Well, and that's exactly how season two is starting out for me. I watched the first episode and a half and I was, you know, here's the thing. I expect when seasons come back and it's just like, all right, we got to draw them in with the episode one of the next season. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of like, okay. It was okay. And I got stuck about halfway through and didn't finish it. Came back to it a couple days later. I'm like, I got to push through this, but I wasn't drawn in. And then episode two so far, I had to stop in the middle of that one, drew me in more. So yeah, I'm not sure. It's the same kind of thing as season one. It's just kind of that they're regurgitating some of the content, but it's a very different thing. And there's the whole time travel thing. So you'll like that. But mm-hmm. yeah, it's like, I don't even know how to explain it, but it's like this moment where they have this Dean Martin song, and I totally spaced the song right now, but there's a Dean Martin song playing and it's like this very old style kind of like almost noir feel, you know? And it's really, I don't know.
Okay. So and then I would classify the entire thing as steampunk.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't know what's
noir steampunk.
Well, noir for sure, but it's, I don't know about the, I don't know steampunk very well, to be honest. I know what it is. I don't know it.
Okay.
So maybe.
I've been playing a video game.
Sweet. Are you playing Fallout? Is that what you're playing?
One moment. BioShock.
Oh, yes. I love BioShock.
So there are aspects of,
Of
Umbrella Academy that remind me of BioShock, not like in the gameplay, but just as in like the... Okay.
Yeah. The background and everything. It's so... Yes. Yeah. That might be more of a steampunk style, actually. But again, I just don't know steampunk. Somebody's going to be like, I know steampunk. Yeah.
Let us know what steampunk it is. And you guys are totally wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're totally wrong about
but
steampunk.
But you're right. If you've played BioShock, that kind of explains Umbrella Academy a little bit, just that style. That is, it is so weird. And like, there's these parts where you kind of just go, I don't understand what's going on. And the other parts where you're just like, this is just genius.
Right. So, which makes it so clever and so interesting and keeps you coming back for more, even if I'm not totally engaged throughout each episode.
Exactly. And that's the
thing.
Which
I think is totally fine.
Yeah.
That's kind of the weird thing about TV shows where is like a book, if you're reading a section that really doesn't interest you and is really predictable, you can kind of just scan it and go to the next section, right?
Yeah.
But when it's a TV show or a movie, you're like, I have to intensely watch every single second of this so I don't forget or miss anything.
Yeah.
And it's really doesn't have to be that way.
No. It's worth watching if you're into that genre. It really is. It's just bizarre.
Definitely.
That's the best way I could put it. It's bizarre, but it's kind of a fun bizarre. So there you go. You
fun
know what,
bizarre.
What's interesting is Sarah and I started watching for the very first time ever, and I know that this show has been out for a while, Once Upon a Time.
Mm.
And what's really funny is when we all started in the TV Talk days back in 2013, I was editing for Addie and her friend, and I'm totally spacing Addie's friend's co-host name. Anyway, I was editing their Once Upon a Time show. So I remember hearing things about it, but I just wasn't interested in watching it at the time because at the time it was all about Arrow. That's what we were watching. But I just thought, I kind of want to check it out. And, you know, it is definitely an ABC show, which is not a compliment. However, there are some really interesting things about that show that I'm kind of drawn into. And I'm like, So we've watched a couple of episodes and so far so good.
That's definitely the thing about Once Upon a Time. And it's a little bit different from Umbrella Academy, where it's like Umbrella Academy goes through like entire sections of each episode that are totally focused on one character. Whereas Once Upon a Time takes an episode and focuses on like the parallels of one character.
Which is
cool. And so you get, it's cool. You don't get as rapid of a storyline for one person, but You know, it's probably more traditional in the way that we're used to TV shows. But
yeah,
that's the weird thing about Once Upon a Time is like, you can be totally interested in one episode and then not care about the next three.
Yeah.
But you still have to watch them because some little thing will happen, you know, that will affect the entire season. So
it's cool. I mean, the thing that I just am not a big fan of is the whole ABC style. It's kind of like the CW style on a lot of the DC shows. It's just not necessarily a good thing. But Stargirl, have not watched the season finale, but it just came out. Well, that was on Sunday, I guess. So going to watch the season finale. I loved that show. So good. It's moving to CW. So it's been on the DC channel that they have. And for some reason, apparently they haven't been doing very well. And so even though Greg Berlanti is one of the producers, it's moving from their whole little DC paid network over to CW, which is good because then everybody else can watch it for free. But that worries me because CW is notorious for agendizing every friggin' show that they have. And Stargirl has been immune to that because this is Geoff Johns' creation. Like, he created the character Stargirl, and it's an amazing story. I would love to have him on the show to talk about it because it's a very, like, powerful story. But it's such a good show, and it has not been ruined by agendas and other political statements. And so I'm just like, please don't ruin season two because it is so good. All right. Well, anyway, now that I'm done, by the way, with Warrior Nun and also after the season finale of Stargirl. Now, granted, Sarah and I are watching Once Upon a Time, but I'm looking. I mean,
you have about 7 years worth of things to watch.
No. I know. Well, an Umbrella Academy is, and by the way, Once Upon a Time is leaving Netflix here soon, so I'm not going to be able to finish it. I'm like, dang it. But anyway, even though I'm watching Umbrella Academy, because it's so bizarre, I'm looking for something else to watch that is, you know, more like a little calmer. Something a little bit more, quote, magical, like outside the norm of reality. Like, I don't want a cop drama or, you know, something that's just like normal life. Like, we got enough of that. I want something completely fantasy, sci-fi based, something like that. But here's the thing. Like, I want that character development. Like, the characters that you come to know and love, I don't want dark and intense and gritty. That's what pretty much everything is right now is... It's like, well, I want to watch this show, but it's incredibly dark. It's incredibly intense. I'm like, I don't want that. I want something calm and peaceful and fun and, you know, magical. I don't know that, but I know that it eliminates so much. And so, and by the way, I'm looking for shows here. Movies are okay, but you can't really develop much with movies. So I'm looking for a TV show. Any ideas on a TV show right now that am I missing something? Do you know?
You're asking the wrong person.
You've watched a lot of really great things. I mean,
so you're talking about things that have already been like are already fully out there.
Well, yeah, because there's nothing new coming out right now.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, there are, but it's a little limited right now with filming having been cut. So it can be old. It doesn't have to be brand new.
The things that come to mind, I think you've already seen.
Probably.
Like Fringe, Alias.
I never watched Fringe, but isn't it dark at times? Or not. And I don't know because I haven't seen it.
I was probably way too immersed in that community to see the darkness, if that's really what you want to call it. I mean, it's definitely not as dark as, I mean, like, it can't be any darker than Arrow.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then that's fine. Because Arrow to me is not that one, dark.
The undercurrent of Fringe, the what made me just fall in love with it is just that there is hope in the midst of all of the pain that you have caused, nice. Right? So like there's the ability to redeem yourself and the ability to do good. And there's so much character development in that one. Plus you get all of the greatest Fringe sciences
nice.
Rolled up into one. So, okay. And then what I always say about Fringe is you have to give it 4 episodes.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
And if you can, give it 6. Because the first couple episodes of the show are a little weird and are not very indicative of the entire series. Like most shows, they filmed the first one in a completely different city than everything else, filmed it way before everything else, and they were just starting to get their footing. It's also the worst introduction to a female character in any of J.J. Abrams' shows that I've ever seen. So just set aside some of those initial reactions to episode 1 and move on to episode 2, 3, 4.
So hit episode 7 and then judge it.
Yes.
Or get through episode 7 and judge it.
Get through episode 7 and then judge it. Okay. And I promise you it'll be worth it.
So that's a good one. And by the way, like when I'm thinking Fringe, I'm thinking, you know, fun sci-fi kind of thing. I don't know if it was similar or not, but Warehouse 13 was one of my favorite shows.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah. And it
definitely
was
definitely not that kind of fun.
Okay. See, and I loved that kind of fun. And I would love something more like that, but that's okay. We don't have anything like, yeah, to me, Eureka and I'll Warehouse 13 were good like that. But
Eureka
was, did you ever see that?
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
That was really good. And of course they...
How about
they
Psych?
Did you ever see Psych? Yeah, I love Psych. That's why we're watching Monk right now, is because everyone's like, oh, if you've seen Psych, you'll love Monk and vice versa. So, Sarah hasn't seen Psych and we need to probably watch that together, but Psych was so good and I gotta watch it again. And then I know, like, I'll look into Fringe and I decided, and I don't know if this is a good idea, but I watched the first few episodes of the first season of the reboot of Doctor Who. Years and years and years ago, like right when it came out. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't get into it. It was just bizarre. And every Doctor Who fan I've ever talked to said that was the worst season of the reboot. Maybe up until the latest
season.
That's
hilarious.
People don't like the latest seasons, but I don't know. So that's what everybody said. And so I was like, yeah, it was kind of weird, but I'm like, well, I'll try to push through it because I like the concept of Doctor Who, but I've never seen the new one. So it's like, well.
So I started with the Matt Smith Doctor.
Oh, season five. Okay.
I started there, and after I watched, because I adore that first season that he was in.
Oh, yeah. I'd heard it was amazing.
And then after I kind of like got a feel for what Doctor Who was about, then I could go back to the earlier seasons and appreciate them.
Okay.
Even if I wasn't like totally enamored. Because everybody says like either Matt Smith is your doctor, I mean, of our generation, or David Tennant.
Yeah.
And anybody who started with David Tennant is a David Tennant fan, right?
Okay.
After Matt Smith came along, it was like, oh, the doctor is ridiculous and stupid and acts like a child. But so like I can go back and appreciate and just adore so many of those episodes. But that first season with what's his face, still can't come up with his name.
Eccleston or whatever.
Eccleston.
It wasn't Peter, but it was, anyway.
Peter Capaldi was after Matt Smith.
Yep.
I can appreciate it, but I would never say that I like it.
Now, is it because you don't like him as the doctor, or is it because the direction of that first season story-wise was just not there?
It was just that really classic British storytelling that I've never really understood.
Okay, good. Because that I don't like that either. Like if you grow up with BBC and stuff like that, you love that British storytelling, and that has always turned me off. Nothing against it. I just don't resonate with it.
Yeah.
That's
and I'm
true.
Totally okay admitting that I don't have the context for it.
Okay, well, I will check out Fringe and I will keep going with Doctor Who. I'm pushing through season one. That's fine. I'll do it. I'll just know that it's going to get better.
I would say even just jump to five.
Really? And just skip one?
As long as you watch all of the doctors in order, just watch the doctor that you want to watch.
Oh, I see. So when the doctor comes into existence, essentially. So when Matt Smith is season five, watch season five in order until he leaves and then go back and watch. So there's really no reason to start at season one. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
I mean, there are certain things that carry over season to season, but not to the point where you'd be totally lost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. See, this is fun. I mean,
the purists may totally disagree with me on that, but it's supposed to be entertainment.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's not. So if you can't find a way to enjoy it, then what is the point?
Exactly. All right. I love that. Thank you. I will do that right now. Well, usually we would end with a little deep thoughts with Captain Influence, and I don't know what we're going to do.
With Captain Influence.
That was so perfect. Whoa. You sound the intro.
Right?
That's amazing. Wow.
I've been working on
how did you do that?
It just came to me.
Wow. That's really impressive. Yeah, I know. I'm sad. It's like, how do we end an episode without deep thoughts? But you know what? And in fact, I just heard from him and he's still without power, still struggling. So unfortunately, hopefully he's not without power for the next month or so, but hopefully he'll be back next week with a normal power. And then whether you are back next week or the week after, one way or the other, we're going to hear about what's going on with your book, what else you're watching. And we'll talk about some other fun things. So thank you for being on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a fun conversation.
It was, and it was really actually kind of fun doing the little OG thing here. So I appreciate that. Yeah, that was really Colin. I appreciate it. Remember, be curious, be informed. I love that. Dude. That's going with us.
Boom.
You know what I should say? Oh, I like this. Okay. Be curious, be informed. And then I say, I have spoken. And then you respond with, Battlestar. Come on, Battlestar. So say we all.
Thank you. I'm like, I should know this. been like 6 years, though.
It has been a pleasure. Hope you have enjoyed the day and can walk away. Uh-oh, you know what the music means.
Mm. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Slan.
But I know you can walk away with some encouragement and some fun and good whipped cream fluff. That's what we want to provide here, is nothing but the fluff. Hey, man, life ain't good without whipped cream. All right, we'll see you next week. Go to the show notes, realbrianshow.com/242. Have a great week. Real Brian Show is signing off.
The Real Brian Show is a production of 514 Media at 514mediaempire.com.